You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles. I've got this just stirring in me. I mentioned it just in passing Sunday. Let's just turn to Joshua 24. I think I used that verse when I talked about life's a series of choices. Joshua chapter 24. This is where Joshua actually had divided up all the inheritance, the land of Canaan, to the 12 tribes of Israel. And they had sections of that land where they spread out. And he told them, actually prophesied to them, that they would not serve God. He knew they wouldn't. They'd get out there and scatter around and not do it, not serve God. But he told them to choose. Everybody say choose. Choose. And of course, over in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, the Bible says, "Behold, I've set before you life and death, blessing and I call heaven and earth a record against you this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that it may be well with you, that thou and thy seed may live. Thou mayest cling unto the Lord thy God, for he is thy life and the length of thy days." Amen. So God's will always is very plain. His will is never for you to choose evil. It's never for you to choose cursing. It's never for you to be cursed. God's will always is for you to be blessed and for you to have life and for you to choose life. It's like a test with the answer up front. He tells you what to choose. I mean, the only reason you'd miss that, not listen to what God said. Hello. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. Because the only reason we ever miss it is because we don't listen to what God said. Are you with me? But life's a series of choices, not chances. It's not your plight in life to be where you are. It's not your thorn in the flesh, your cross to bear. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We often hear those terms out of context. Our cross to bear is standing up for Jesus' persecution that we get for preaching the word. Our cross to bear is not sickness, disease, pain, and poverty and all those kinds of things. And the thorn in the flesh is the same thing. Thorn in the flesh is just persecution. That's all Paul's talking about. When he asked God to remove it in 2 Corinthians 12 chapter, he says, "I sought the Lord three times to remove this, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee." Well, obviously, God won't remove persecution, because as long as you stand up for Jesus, there's going to be persecution. And everywhere Paul went, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him because of the many revelations that he'd received. He was persecuted everywhere he went. And he said, "God, get rid of all this persecution." But God's not going to do that. "They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's part of the package. Are you with me? It was Philip Brooks that said this. He said, "Pray not for task equal to your powers, but pray for power equal to your task." Because we often say, "Lord, just take it all away." No, what we need is the strength to handle it. In essence, if you want to know the truth, the way God moves, the way God does remove things in our life is through us. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah, somebody. I want to help you tonight. Amen. I want to encourage you that you can make it, that you can rise above it, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that's surrounding you, whatever circumstances that you seemingly are entrapped by or ensnared by. I want you to know that God will lead them there as long as you lead them there. But if you choose to believe God and trust God, He'll help you get rid of them. Now, He's not the one to put them there. Okay. So it says here in Joshua 24, verse 15, in Joshua speaking, he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you yourselves this day whom you will serve." Everybody say, choose yourselves. Life is a choice. It's a series of choices. Whom you serve is a choice. It's a choice. Every day you get up and serve somebody. Don't get the idea you're going to be God or be king. No. We're kings and priests unto our God, but we're not God. See, that was the problem Adam and Eve had in the garden. They tried to be nouns. They were just adjectives. And often we tried to be the sun in our solar system, but we're just satellites, and that's all we'll ever be. Now, we can choose which sun we orbit around, but we can never be the sun. We can never be God. We're always going to orbit around some sun somewhere. We're always going to be an adjective. Are you with me? Complementing some noun somewhere. But we'll never be the noun. Hello. You got to serve somebody. Amen. And you make that choice. And says, if it seems to you evil to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Now, he didn't say, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, just choose not to serve anybody, because that's not possible. As soon as you get up and yield your members to some act, some deed, as soon as you make some decision, as soon as you make a statement, your words are being used by someone, by the devil or by God. Your words are being used to help or hurt. Your actions are adding to the problem or they are adding to the answer. So you're being used no matter what you do. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, no, wait a second. You choose who uses you. That's what submission's all about. It's not slavery. I'm not a slave to God. I've freely submitted to God. I chose to serve God. It was my choice to be a Christian. It was my choice to obey God. It was my choice to serve Him. I'm not a slave in that sense. I choose where I serve. And I do it with my free will. Submission is to serve under. Submission, that's what it is. It's two Latin words, sub, under, mission, serve, to serve. I serve under God. I'm in the service of the Lord. It's like I join the army. I join the army of the Lord. Are you with me? See, and it's a wonderful thing. But see, before that, I served the devil. I did it freely. I did it with my own will. I made my choices. I went out there and freely served the devil. But the problem is that whoever you serve is your master. And the devil's a hard taskmaster. Always. God's a good, good God. Amen. And so Joshua's telling him, you're going to serve somebody. So choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. This is the land of Canaan, the Canaan land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
I like that. Made a stand. You got to make a stand. You don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. And so he made a stand for him and his whole household. I love that. I made a stand for my house years ago. My whole household serves the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I made that stand. Now from here you go into the book of Judges. Everybody ready to go to the book of Judges? The book of Judges is about judges. That's deep, isn't it? The book of Joshua is about Joshua. Oh, yeah. And you know what Ruth's about? Ruth, you got it, man. I'm telling you. Y'all quick. Judges, the judges were deliverers or saviors is really what they were, that God would raise up when the children of Israel would call out to Him. This is an interesting book because it's a sad book in one way, in one sense, because God gave them, He gave them that land. He gave it to them, okay? Now, granted, there are people sitting on that land that they were responsible for running off. Just like the devil tries to hold back from you the peace of God, the love of God, forgiveness and all that. He moves in and sits on it, see? Tries to get you to buy his life, bitterness and unforgiveness and all those things. But you have to take your authority over that. You have to rise up in the name of Jesus, claim the promise of God. And if you'll submit to God, the Bible says you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But granted, even though it's yours and it's a promise, you still have to fight to attain it or fight to experience it in your life. Even though God has given it to you, He gives it to you through your faith and through your fighting and your standing and through your choices and your will. Does that make sense? So the way God moves in our lives is through our will. He empowers us to accomplish the thing. When we call on Him, He still gets the glory and honor because we couldn't do it without Him. Does that make sense? I can't do all things, period. I can only do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I have to call on Him to strengthen me. He doesn't just strengthen me without me calling. He doesn't just show up without me crying. He doesn't just open the door without me knocking. He's not just found without me seeking. And He doesn't just answer without me asking. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. So the onus is on us. Or the monkey's on my back. Or the ball's in my court. Are you with me? Or all those other cliches and idioms and so on and so forth. So what we see in Judges is a people who were empowered by God, commissioned by God, had the promises of God, and really the command of God, to go and take these cities one by one by one and drive out the inhabitants. And you know what? They didn't do it. They got some cities. And sometimes they wouldn't get the whole city. They would allow some inhabitants to stay. and it was always trouble for them. Whatever you allow to remain in your life, whatever you don't overcome that God gave you the ability to overcome, whatever God gave you a promise to, promise concerning that you don't fully receive in your life, whatever you don't get delivered from completely, whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether it's sickness, whatever it is, whatever you leave there, God will leave there. You mean God put that in my life? No. No, God didn't put it in there. God will leave it there until you believe Him to remove it. Don't twist what I'm saying. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. God will leave everything in your life that you don't believe Him for. In fact, God will only remove in your life what you believe Him for. He'll only save you if you call on Him. Now see, this is the balance of this trying and testing thing like God. People say God tries and tests us. Well, I believe God does, but not in the sense that they're saying God puts things in our life to build character in our life, or He put this in my life to make me a better person. No, He didn't. He just left it there until you rose up and overcame the thing.
Yes, that's right.
Does that make sense? He left it there. Sure, He'll leave anything in your life that you don't take care of. But the problem with it, if you don't get aggressive and if you don't start believing God and trusting God and praying and standing on His Word and seeking God and going forward in your faith and your walk with God and growing spiritually, if you don't do that, those things that you leave in your life that remain in your life, at worst, as long as they stay there, they're going to be an influence in your life. At best, they'll be an influence. That's at best, they'll be an influence. At worst, they won't be an influence. They'll actually overcome you, put you back in bondage. That's what we see in the book of Judges over and over and over. The things that they left in those cities, the people that they didn't run out, that God gave them the command to run out, God gave them the promise to stand on, told them to go drive out those inhabitants. The ones they left eventually put them back in bondage. And you will always go back into bondage to whatever you don't run out of your life that's bad and evil and corrupt and sinful, habits or whatever the case may be. Everything that God told you to get rid of, you need to get rid of it. It's not just a promise. It's not just a wonderful option. Isn't it great? Praise God. We got a promise. You know, hallelujah. God could take care of this if I'd like Him to. Well, if you don't do it, it's going to wind up taking you over. Getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. And so Judges is a case of that happening. That's why we say this. It's not a sin to be poor, but it sure is a sin not to try to come out of poverty. It's not a sin to be sick, but I think it's a sin not to try to get well. It'd be a sin not to stand on the Word and overcome the things that God gave us the ability to overcome. Because most of us are enduring what we're supposed to be overcoming. And we're putting up with what we should be running out of our lives. And it's been a curse to us. It'll always be a curse to us. And sometimes we're waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on us to rise up and believe Him and trust Him. And if we will trust Him and believe Him, He will show up. He will help us overcome, but He won't help us go under. We're on our own. In fact, He'll just vacate the premises, really, and just leave you to yourself until you call on Him. And if you call on Him, He'll show back up and He'll help you overcome. God can't help us go under. He doesn't have that kind of help to give. God doesn't go under. He can only offer you what He is. That song, we worship Him for who He is. He can't give you what He doesn't have. So if you want to get mad, you've got to go get mad by yourself. God doesn't have any of that. But if you want love, oh, He's got lots of love. You call on Him, He'll help you love people. If you want to forgive people, oh my goodness, He'll show up and show out. If you call on Him, see, if you hook up with Him, if you'll take His promise and His command and run with it, He will show up and He will drive out the inhabitants in the land. He'll drive them out through your faith, through your calling, through your crying out to Him. Amen. So the question is, how long do you want to put up with it?
Yes, that's
right. Well, one day God's going to deliver me. I'm here to tell you, as a pastor that loves you and for you, no, He won't.
That's right.
Not if you don't trust Him.
Amen.
He's not going to just supernaturally show up one day and just bless your life. He will bless you as you call on Him. He'll bless you as you come to Him. He'll bless you as you trust Him. And as you do what He says.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Listen, if you behave your way into a situation, you're going to have to behave your way out of it.
That's right.
Judges, y'all found Judges? I know you're thinking, Pastor, why don't we read something real quick? No, let's just take, there's several places we can go to here. Let's look at the first chapter. 19th verse. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive at all out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron. Now, they didn't do it. I mean, God could have helped them do that if they would have believed Him, trust Him, but evidently they just didn't. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Why? Because the children of Benjamin didn't drive them out. Is that what it says? Okay. Now, let's go on down to 28th verse. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but they did not completely drive them out. Okay. Why were they still there? Because they did not completely drive them out. Y'all can read, can't you? Okay. 30th verse. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites, yeah, some names for your kids, Kitron and Nahalol. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. 33rd verse. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh. Say that 10 times real fast. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them. Well, as you read through here, you begin to see they didn't fully drive out everybody. They were supposed to. They could have. God said they could. In fact, it's all in the Bible. In Joshua, it's all over in Deuteronomy. God gave them the ability to drive out and told them to drive it out. But, you know, they just stopped. They went so far and stopped. We often do that. We go so far with God, we just kind of stop. We get a little blessing and we just don't go any further. We get a little freedom, but we don't really dance, dance, dance in the freedom we know. Come on, we don't stand fast in it. We don't just glory in it. We don't just stay in it. See, we just won't go any further. We just stopped. And wherever we stop, God stops. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I remember God used to bless me. Man, I'd come to church and I'd just get some blessings. Well, you can do it again. Right. Yeah. Hello. See, God had moved. Mm-hmm. Guess who moved? Yeah. Now, I'm talking to me, too, so don't take it. You know, look at me so mean. Sure being mean about it, Pastor. I'm talking to me, too. I mean, we want some supernatural, just like God's got a magic wand. It's like a fairy flying around and, you know, and some magical thing. He's just going to all of a sudden just, bing, out of nowhere, you know, no reason. That is not what the Bible teaches. You believe for the move of God. You believe for the supernatural. You believe for the miracle. You believe for the deliverance. You aggressively go after. You do what you can do and you trust God and you say His word and you stand on His promise and you fight and you win. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember when Moses was backed up against the Red Sea? That's an amazing story every time I read that. He's backed up against the Red Sea. Exodus 14, I believe where it was. And here comes Pharaoh's army. I mean, they're hot on their trail. They're coming down hard. There's Moses with all the children of Israel, and they're right up against the Red Sea. And Moses tells them, stand still and see the salvation of God. He does tell the children of Israel. He is in faith. They're scared, but he is standing somewhat in faith. But I think it's interesting that God says, why cry ye out to me? Stretch forth your rod. And he says this, go forward. Wow. I mean, you read that and you think, what is that? Yeah. I mean, they're backed up against the Red Sea. Yeah, and God's saying, go forward. There's nothing there but water. There's obstacles in the way. There's no way we can do this in the natural. But God's saying, really basically, if you put the whole thing together, God's saying, if you don't do something, I'm not going to move. Yeah. If you don't stretch that rod out, Moses, if you don't start out here and go forward, I'm not going to move. I am waiting on you. That's really what God was telling Moses. In fact, it's that. He said, why cry ye out to me? Command the people to go forward. Stretch out your rod. And he did, and when he did, the water split. But see, God was waiting on him to trust and believe. We often want God to just kind of throw it in our lap. But really, no, that's not the way it works. And this is what's so good about believing and trusting God. You get stronger every time you do it because it involves you in the process. You get more mature, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us all to grow up. It's not about God just throwing stuff on us all the time. It's about us pushing, trusting, believing, standing, moving forward. Amen? And every step we take, God's there waiting on us to come up a little further, come up a little higher. Further up, further up, further up, further in His presence. Amen? And when you stop, He stops. When you back up, He backs up. That's what happened to the children of Israel in the book of Judges. That's the sad story of this book, is they would get back in bondage to things that they had the power to overcome. I'll tell you what else was so fascinating about this. When God would deliver them, He always delivered them through themselves. Don't mistake that or twist that. They couldn't get free without God, but God wasn't going to do it without them. You say, He raised up saviors and deliverers. Yes, He did. And you know what the deliverers did? They would wake up the people and organize the people, and they would go out and they'd fight and they'd win. And they would do what God told them to do to start with that got them in the mess they were in. Hello. It always come back down. They had to believe God. Lord, come do something. We don't want to believe you, God. Just come down and do it. And God said, no, it's not going to work that way. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it as you believe me and as you trust me. If you stop trusting me, stop believing me, I'm going to stop. Well, God, why are you allowing all this stuff in my life? Because you're allowing it in your life. The question is, when will you be free? Just like Jesus told that man at the pool of Bethesda, He said, will you be made whole? I think that's a big question. It also almost sounds hard, but you know what? Jesus said it to a person. He looked him right in the eye and told him that. He said, will you be made whole? That's the question. Do you really want to be free? If you want to, you can be. If you'll cry out, He'll hear you. If you call out, He'll answer you. No question, because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call unto me, He said, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great mighty things which you know not. But He's waiting on your call. He's waiting on you to rise up. And the things that you've allowed in your life, He will allow as long as you allow them. And then habits that you have not conquered and overcome in your life will stay there and influence you at best. And they will overcome you at worst. Until you cry out to God and stand on His Word, and with the power of God and the Word of God and the promises of God, drive it out of your life. You're tired of that anger in your life? You can get rid of it if you'll trust God and believe God and stand on His Word. How long you want to put up with it? That unforgiveness, that bitterness eating you up? I can tell you how you can get rid of it. Trust God, stand on His Word, and you can get rid of it. But God's not going to just supernaturally one day just tuck it away. People that way, I get tickled people with cigarettes. They'll say, I'm just waiting for God to take it away. Yeah. Well, at some point, you've got to stop smoking them. God doesn't hate you to smoke cigarettes. That's not what I'm saying. But I kind of like what Brother Olson used to say. There's nobody really smokes cigarettes. Cigarettes smoke, but there's just a sucker on the other end. Okay. Ooh. Okay. Now, I love you. You know that. Now, I love you. I just want... Whatever you want to put up with, God will put up with. Whatever you want to get rid of, you can get rid of. Okay. Yeah. Notice in the second chapter... In the second chapter, the 10th verse says this, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, the generation of Joshua and all the elders that were with him, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. That's when they got in bondage. It's when they quit worshiping God and quit trusting God. Are you with me? That's when they got in captivity. God didn't put them in captivity. Hello? I mean, if you look at the wording and what it says, that what it was a result of their sin. It was a result of them not believing and trusting God. Notice the 20th verse. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. I will no longer drive them out. What do you mean? He won't drive them out if you don't serve him. But if you serve him, he'll drive them out. But he's not going to just drive them out if you... See, there's a law in effect here. God's a God of law and principle. If you sin, you're under a curse. If you bless, if you serve God, you'll be blessed. You jump off a roof, you hit ground. That's called gravity. God won't violate the law. That's the law. God made the law. Now, God doesn't want you to break your leg. He would love for you to understand how gravity works and work with gravity. Are you with me? And he would like for us to understand how sin works and how righteousness works and how trusting and believing God works and how doubt and unbelief and worry and fear works. But he can't overrule his own rules. I'm going to fear God and I'm going to sin and be blessed. No, you're not. Not going to happen. Can't happen. If you break covenant, God's got an agreement with us. You do this, I'll do that. If you don't do what he says, he can't do what he says because he only does what he says as you do what he told you to do. I need to say that again. When you break covenant, that means you don't do what he told you to do. And if you do what he told you to do, he'll do what he said he'd do. But he can't do what he said he'd do if you don't do what he told you to do so he could do what he said he'd do if you... In other words, that old Nike commercial, just do it. What? The Word. Do the Word. James tells us that. James 1:22 says, be ye doers the word, not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. See, honestly, really, God's not the doer of the word. You are. God will help you do the word. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said he sent the helper. He said, if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit unto you, the comforter, the helper, the paraclete, the one called alongside to help. He'll help you. The Holy Spirit will help you in all kinds of ways. He'll help you do things. But you've got to do them. And if you do the Word, He'll help you do it. He'll help you do it. Even the first miracle Jesus did, He turned the water into wine. He didn't go fill the water pots up with water. He told the servants, He said, you go fill them up with water. They could have stopped right there and said, we're not going to do that. Are you kidding? He said, well, you're not going to get any wine then. You don't do your part, I'm not doing my part. Brother Osteen, you say you do the possible, God will do the impossible. You do your part, God will always do His part. But the problem is we haven't done our part. We hadn't initiated it, see. We hadn't trusted Him, we hadn't believed Him, we hadn't served Him, and so we're wondering why the mess is still there. I'm not picking on anybody in particular, I'm just talking in general, abstractly. You know as well as I know, nobody in this church is in sin. I'm talking about people outside the church that should have been here. Y'all be sure and get the CD, take it home to them. Because you know, you're thinking right now somebody that should have been in this service. I know. But for all those that didn't come, I'm trying to help you so you can minister to them, you know, when you leave here. Says the 20th verse, 2nd chapter, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which God's commanded us to prosper, commanded us to be healed, commanded us to love, commanded us to forgive, commanded us to serve Him. Yeah. 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. Not the 10 great ideals. 10 concepts. That's food for thought. Chew on that a while. No, they're commandments. In my opinion, no, God didn't say that. They're commandments. And then He says this, 21st verse, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel. This is interesting because this is where people get confused on testing. Through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. In other words, leave them there. He will leave them there. And if they trust Him and stand on His word, praise God, He'll show up and drive them out. And God will leave everything in your life until you trust Him and stay on His word. Now, if anything's a test, that'd be the only test you could say God does. That's not a testing in the sense that God puts things in our life. Just God leaves them in our life. Just like I train a child to do something, And I raise them up and raise them up. And finally, I take my hands off and I say, okay, now I'm going to let you do this. Just like God said in Malachi 3:10, He says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. That's testing God in a good way. That's not a temptation of God. That's a trying God. In other words, put God to the test. Do what He says and see if He'll do. Do what He tells you to do and see if He'll do what He says He'll do. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We're not talking about God testing us with trials in our life, or testing us with pain in our life, or testing us with problems in our life. What He's saying is that He will prove us by leaving everything in our life until we stand on His Word. And you know what happens when you stand on His Word? You prove it. You prove yourself and you prove the Word. And you come out with an A on the test. You getting it? See, that's not God trying to put something. See, everybody gets it all confused. They say, well, God put this in my life, test me. No, He didn't. No, He did not do that. He did not put anything in your life. He left it in there like He leaves everything. Because He can't drive it out until you trust Him and believe Him. But if you'll do what He told you to do, you'll pass the test. That makes sense? See, we misattribute the parts of the test. The pain, we say, God put it there. He did not put it there. No, He did not. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Well, where's the test? The test is this, whether you'll believe God or not, whether you'll trust Him or not. And so God will leave it there so you can prove yourself by keeping His commandment and keeping His covenant. And you know what? If you don't do it, you'll fail the test. And it'll stay there. It'll stay there until you pass the test. How do I pass it? Trust God. Amen. Getting quiet. Y'all chewing on that, aren't you? Let's read it again. I'll also no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. He didn't say he put them there. He said, I just won't drive them out. So that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord and to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did He deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Now these are the nations which the Lord left, that He might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. Was it the will of God all those people took over the land of Canaan? No. God sent Israel in there to drive them out of their land. That land was God's people's land. It was Israel's land. And God set them there to drive them out. But when they ceased to drive them out, God stopped and left it until they proved themselves again worthy. You say, how worthy what? Worthy in the sense of proving themselves by believing. The only worth you have is in your faith. The only worth you have is in your trust. That's the only thing we can offer. There's nothing else we can give God except our faith and our trust. Are you with me? And so God always has that stop or that govern on everything. There's a stop or the govern on every victory in your life. It is the limits of your faith. God won't violate it. He won't violate that rule or that law. He won't just bless you without you believing and trusting Him or calling on Him. Because if He does that, you never grow. And it would be very arbitrary of God to start with anyway. And God's no respecter of persons. He'll heal anybody that comes to Him. He'll save anybody that calls on Him. He'll deliver anybody that trusts Him. But He will not deliver you if you don't trust Him. And He will not save you if you don't trust Him. Does that make sense? And what's happening, this test that's going on in our life, we're all being tried and tested, whether we trust or whether we believe or whether we call on God, we can pass one test after another. Amen. Trials, no problem. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. When we trust Him, see? This is what they did. Third chapter, first verse. These are the nations the Lord left. Often think of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Everybody quotes that one, you know, where it says, God will not allow us to be tempted, but we're always with temptation, make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Not suffer us to be tempted, but we're able, always with temptation, make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. I've heard people say, God will never put on you more than you can handle. That's not what that scripture says. It didn't say He'd put stuff on us. It says He won't allow more than we're able. but will always, with the temptation, make a way to escape. In other words, the devil will never be able to put more on you than you, by the will of God and by the power of God and by the word of God and by your faith, can overcome. If it's happening, you can overcome it. If it's coming your way, you have the ability to overcome it, because God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. There wasn't one nation left in this, in one city. There wasn't one army left in one city that they were not able to overcome if they would just call on God. And the truth be known, you ought to read it for yourself. Every time they did call on God, they did overcome. Every time. They would go into bondage when they sinned. They'd cry out to God. He'd raise up the deliverer. He'd wake up the people. They'd trust God. They'd run out the inhabitants. They'd quit serving God. They'd get back in sin, get back in captivity. They cry out to God. God raise up the deliverer. He'd wake up the people. They'd organize, and they'd drive them back out again. God over and over and over left these things in their life because they left them in their lives. So the question is, how long do you want the test to be? Hello. How long do you want to put up with that? You know, Moses showed up and told Pharaoh, when all those frogs were in there, he says, you know, if you'll let us go, you know, we can get rid of these frogs. He told him that one night, and Pharaoh said, fine, in the morning. In the morning? Man, if I was Pharaoh, I'd say right now. But Pharaoh put up one more night with the frogs by his own choice. So if you want one more night with the frogs, that's your choice. Hello? Third chapter, ninth verse. Stay with me. This helping you? Now, I know it might be kind of new. You need to chew on it and think about it. God's never the author of your problems. He's never the author of your trial or tragedy. He's never the author of your pain or your circumstances. But one thing for sure, God will not remove it if you don't trust Him and believe Him for it. He will leave it there. He'll leave all the inhabitants that you leave. Well, how do I get them to drive them out? Stand up and believe God and trust God, and He'll show up and help you drive them out. When you're ready, you can overcome. When you get to where you want to believe God and trust God, He'll help you. When you really want to cry out to Him and serve Him, He'll bless you. But God will not bless you if you do not serve Him. He cannot do that. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry. The potter can't say to the clay, why have you made me thus? God made us in such a way that if we serve Him, we'll be blessed. If we don't serve Him, we'll be cursed. That's just the way it is. That's the world that God made. We may not like it, but that's the way God made it. Those are the laws. That's the principles that He works by. He works by His Word. I wish I'd get answers to prayers without praying them. Well, I'm sorry. God already made the system where you have to pray and believe God to get an answer. And the clay cannot say to the potter, why did you make me this way? This is the world we live in. Deal with it. Y'all out there? There's not another world you can go to, okay? This is it. This is how this world works. This is the way God made the system. I don't like it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. I don't like gravity. Well, I'm sorry. That's why we read. That's why we get in the Word. That's why we find out what God says. You know why? So we can find out how He works. And so we can work with God. Because we're beating ourselves. We're just beating ourselves in the head. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're our own worst enemy. You know, because people didn't understand electricity. You can get killed by electricity. Electricity has certain laws that it operates by. You can't just cut into the wire and grab that wire. You'll get shocked. It'll kill you. But if you work with it, I mean, you connect it to all the right things, I mean, you can have air conditioning, you can have heating, you can have lights. It's wonderful. It's a marvelous thing. It just amplifies my voice, and that's a wonderful thing. Hello? Television, all those things. That's what electricity will do. It does amazing things, but it only operates within certain laws. You can't make it work outside of its own laws. If you try to cross those laws, what's meant to be a blessing actually will be a curse to you. Laws are good. Laws are wonderful. The more you know about them, the more you can work with them. Principles are great things. That's what the Bible's about. It's filled with principles. That's what God's telling us. He's telling them how to make it. He's telling you how to make it. He's telling you how to get that junk out of your life. He's telling us also that it will stay there until you conform to the principles of trusting and believing God. Ninth verse, third chapter. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Wow. How'd they get out of that mess? When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Y'all see that? 15th verse. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud. Everybody say Ehud. The son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. Wow. You know that's the Lord. He's a left-handed man. Fourth chapter, first verse. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Third verse. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord for Jabin and 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And the story goes on. He raised up Barak and Deborah to deliver them. When? When they cried out to the Lord. You notice that God, you say, well, God was so cruel. He wasn't cruel at all. He always delivered them every time they trusted him. And when they would get in sin, they get back in bondage. Woo, y'all getting the picture? You know, homework. Go home and read the whole book of Judges. It may take you a while. It's a fascinating book. It's a book of being delivered and going back in sin, going back into captivity, crying out to God and getting delivered again. Hello? Then going back in sin, getting back in captivity. Man, you'd think, when are you going to wake up and see what's going on here? You know, of course, they didn't have Starbucks back then. But you'd think somebody would wake up. How long is God going to leave that junk in my life? As long as I leave it there. And you know what will happen if I will believe God and trust God? I will prove His Word and prove myself. You know, the Bible says, let a man first be proven. What does that mean? It means let him do the work. Let him show the work. And God's waiting for us to be proved. Not by Him, no. By our faith. By us trusting Him. And all that stuff left there, of course, the devil put it there to destroy us and to kill us. God didn't remove it until we call on Him. Then He shows up and removes it. Because we must learn to fight. And we must learn to trust. And we must learn to believe God. Are you with me? So who puts it there? The devil. Who leaves it there? God. And you. Who removes it? God. And me. We're laborers together with the Lord.